Hello, 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 Degrassi alumni, and welcome to another episode of the Degrads podcast with yours truly, one of your hosts, Shane Kippel, Gavin Spinner-Mason.
And me, Mike Lobel, or as my mom has taken lately again to calling me Jay Hogart.
Oh, she's back to it, eh?
Yeah, she got your memo.
Finally. Thank you, Mrs. Lobel. And as always, we are joined by our incredible producer and good friend, or at least he's become a good friend. We'll reassess later. Andy Tate. Andy, say hi to the people.
We'll get there. I'm pumped.
I am pumped nice. As well. This is a fun episode, especially for me, because my ego loves being painted all over the episode that we're currently going to be covering.
That's right.
And this week, without further ado, that would be episode 107, Basketball Diaries.
That's right. Basketball Diaries, straight up homage to the hard-hitting DiCaprio film of the same name, by the way, which I loved growing up.
Oh, yeah. Well, every one of the titles, if people are not turned on to this yet, and we really want you to be turned on, by the way, every one of the titles are either based on old movies or song titles. That's every episode is titled after that. So Basketball Diaries, obviously, the fantastic DiCaprio movie. If you haven't seen it, highly recommended.
That's a good piece of Degrassi trivia. Now you all know.
Mm-hmm. Now let us set the table for my favorite segment, because I'm the one that always does it. On this day in history.
We need music for this intro, by the way. It's going to be like, on this day, or whatever, you know, that's the bad version.
I think my voice is musical enough, and I think the fans will agree that when I'm talking, everything else just stops anyway.
Great.
So this episode premiered on December 2nd, 2001. The story was by Aaron Martin and Yann Moore. The teleplay was by Tassie Cameron. The director of this episode was James Elodi. And on December 2nd, 2001, the box office number one movie was still Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, or Philosopher's Stone, depending on what area of the world you live in. Number two was Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh, yeah, the sniper movie.
With Owen Wilson. I don't think it was was he a sniper in that movie?
Oh, no. Sorry, I'm thinking of the other one, Jude Law. Sniper? No, yeah, you're right. This one, he goes down. He's a pilot.
You're talking about Enemy at the Gates.
That's right. Similar title.
Yes, but not a similar movie, okay? One was set a long time ago, and I guess this one was also set a long time ago, if you consider 25 years ago, a long time. Anyway, number three at the box office was Monsters, Inc. And number four, I thought it would get an honorable mention, is Spy Game with Brad Pitt.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Which I thought was a little older than that. But the internet don't lie.
Sorry, still thinking about Owen Wilson as a pilot going down in his jet and, like, you know, parachuting into a tree, and his jet explodes in a fireball, and he just goes like, oh, wow. Like, is it that Owen Wilson, or is it like, is he serious acting in this?
Oh, no. He's serious acting in this one. And I remember a lot of climbing of mountains in very snowy terrain. That's what I remember. Even though it actually happens a couple days later, I thought it would be interesting for fans of George Clooney, Brad Pitt, and Matt Damon to know that the first Ocean's 11 came out on December 5th, which was only 3 days after this. And it's either I tell the news ahead of time, or next week I just backtrack. So I thought I would do it this way. Just try to stop me.
So we were fertile. Our minds were ready for a good heist film.
Yes. Yes. I'm always ready for a good heist film. The top show on TV on December 2nd, 2001, once again, was not Degrassi. Obviously we were doing something wrong, but it was The West Wing. Billboard Top 100, number one song was still Mary J. Blige, Family Affair. And in the UK, it was Gotta Get Through This by Daniel Bedingfield.
Wow. I don't even know who that is.
And neither do I. And the moon was in a waning gibbous. No, it's, I don't actually know. I don't know if
it
was. I
love your little astrology chart part of this segment.
Okay. The table is set for where we all were with our pagers and possibly blueberries, the predecessor to the BlackBerry and whatever other, I don't know, your Tamagotchi.
That's right.
So, two basketball diaries. It's a very, very Jimmy heavy episode, very spinner heavy episode, and some dashes of Liberty and Ashley. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy and Spinner start out at basketball practice. Jimmy wants to make sure that he is locked in for the game against Earl Grey because that game decides who will be on the Degrassi Panthers starting lineup.
That's
Jimmy
right.
really wants it. But we find
I was rooting
out
for Earl Grey because it's my favorite tea. Just a little side note there.
It's my favorite tea as well. It always has
nice.
Been.
Nice. Me too. Oh, look at that. Whoa. Yeah. Now I know why we get each other so well.
Because we're all teetotalers.
We like that citrusy bergamot.
Yeah, the bergamot. We're tea brothers.
So we find out very, very quickly that Jimmy is falling behind in his classes because he's putting it all into sports. And as someone that was not gifted in the athletics at all, I cannot relate. I wish I had to give it all to sports and fall behind in school, but unfortunately, that would have meant that I just flunked out of everything.
Yeah.
I was never making the cut for that team. What about you, Mike?
I feel like I was the Jimmy Brooks of my high school, but instead of sports, it was an arts high school. And so it was just like me making movies with my friends. I was never, and you know what I mean? Like I made movies to turn in for my math projects because I just didn't want to do the straight up math homework. So I'd make a funny movie about math, kind of loosely, but not really related.
Elaborate on that. You're like, sorry, I didn't do the equations, but instead I'm going to submit this to you.
Like, okay, so for music theory class, I made a movie called Bach to the Future, in which I cast one of my friends as Johann Sebastian Bach, put him in a wig, and then imagined he had traveled through time to my high school music theory class to experience what these teenagers were experiencing. So it's like Johann Sebastian Bach being totally confounded by the future. And there was very little music theory in it.
Fair enough. And I'm all for learning more about music theory and what you did in that class. I'm asking how you made a movie instead of doing your math homework and how that
yeah,
was
I did. I basically like interviewed people about like the school and math and what it means to
what
them.
What does math
like
mean to you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you believe in the concept of infinity? All right. Well,
yep.
Glad we learned that about you, Mike. So Jimmy really wants to do well, but at the expense of falling behind in school. Now we get to the B plot where Liberty starts us out by stressing out Ashley, getting her morning announcements to her in the 11th hour. And Ashley is perturbed. She and Liberty is feeling underappreciated in her role of writing the announcements and not actually getting any of the respect that comes along with that.
She's tired of being used.
She is tired of being used. Aren't we all?
And Ashley is a user. She's a real user in this one.
Possibly even an abuser, if you will.
I don't know. I was getting like sociopath vibes from Ashley in this episode. There was a little tough love in there towards the end we'll get to, but like in the beginning, I found it pretty hard to, you know, she's a kid. It's high school. Chill out.
And she also, she never smiles. She is always pissed off about something.
Yeah.
She is always trying to teach someone a lesson. I hate people like that. But I found it funny that Liberty's like, I inserted a little joke at the end there. And then when we hear what that joke was, if you see Earl Grey holding lighters, it's because they always lose their matches. And damn, that had me rolling on the floor laughing. I don't know about you, Mike. That was some top class material.
I had a good chuckle. There's a few good jokes in this episode, actually.
Yeah, like dad jokes, but yes.
There's one coming up when Mr. Simpson enters, but...
Yes. There, sure. So Liberty enters the media immersion lab into the homeroom. Everyone is watching the announcements and raving over how natural Ashley seems to be coming off. But then very quickly, Emma lights the fire under Liberty's behind and tells her that, you know, if you're not getting the recognition that you deserve, then you should kind of turn the screws to Ashley a little bit. And when Sean gives his two cents about why would you want to spend any more time in school, what was the line that Simpson cut him off with?
I don't know, but he casually drops that his social worker says ...
Yeah, something about, and he's about...
My social worker.
And he's about to say ass, but then Simpson runs in and replaces that ass with class, which was classy.
It's a real womp womp. I loved it. Tassie, no, knocking your script. I loved it. I thought it was funny, but so cheesy at the same time.
But here's my thing again. Why is Simpson always late? Is he actually Batman? Like, what is he doing with his nights?
This is a good fan theory.
I don't know.
What bothers me is how hard he is on everybody who's late throughout the whole series.
Yes.
Anytime somebody's late, he's got something to say, but he's late all the time. Yeah.
He is projecting on everybody his own flaws.
It's a good question for the fans, though. Like, what are there any fan theories about this aspect?
What
do
you think Snape Simpson is actually up to?
What's he up to
with his knights? Why is he always tired? Where are these bruises coming from? Okay.
And why are so many criminals in the city being arrested?
We should not be taking the law into our own hands. He would be the first one to purport that, and I think that's brilliant misdirection on his part, if he is actually Batman. So that whole scene ends off with Emma once again telling Liberty confront Ashley about this, and we hear Simpson tail it off with, all right, class, today we're going to be learning about the fascinating world of HTML, which
brand new
to this day I still don't know what HTML is. I know of it.
It's a hypertext transfer protocol, Shane. I can't not believe you. You did not pay attention in Mr. Simpson's class.
I absolutely did not. I'm sorry about that, but this podcast will expose all of my inadequacies. All right. We carry on to the A-plot, where Jimmy didn't do his work. There was a book that we soon after find out was Lord of the Flies that he was supposed to read, and he did not. And he turns to Spinner in the wake of Miss Kwan's question of what character did you identify with here? Turns to Spinner and like, oh, because Spinner obviously did not read the book either. And we see that once again, he has chosen sports over academics, and now his teachers are, the walls are closing in on him in class. Once again, I can't relate because I was a good student and I didn't have to make that choice between marks and sports. But Mike, was there ever a moment where you were so distracted with what you were actually passionate about that your marks were slipping and you had to get your shit together?
All
under
the time.
Threat of...
I'm a man of many hobbies, and I just and I have a problem with authority, and I did when I was a kid, so I just didn't, I didn't apply myself. I was always the smart kid that didn't apply himself. That was the sort of report card going home headline. But I recognize this classroom because it looks so Canadian. There's a Canadian flag. Everything is red and white. Miss Kwan's even wearing a red sweater. It's like... and I will also say that, like, anytime Degrassi brings in a piece of literature or pop culture, I'm always leaning in extra because I want to see how the writers have worked in, you know, Lord of the Flies. How are you guys going to connect this to the plot? How is this going to, is it going to be an analogy for something? Like, my favorite episode that I had for Jay was the Dracula episode, and I read Dracula because of that episode, you know, because I wanted to see where the sort of connections lay. So I'm really into this whole, like, it's a great moment when Miss Kwan asks Jimmy which character he's going to be. And he's like, I'm the Lord of the Flies. And she's like, the Lord of the Flies has a severed pig's head resting on a stake,
mm-hmm.
which is a very grim pile of poo-poo that he's stepped in there. And good on the writers.
And so would you say after watching this episode that by the end of it, it becomes obvious that Jimmy is, in fact, a severed pig, severed pig's head resting on top of a stake?
Well, I mean, we'll get there. But like Jimmy, actually, when he does read the book, he identifies with a character that I think most kids would identify with because he's, you know, he's just a normal, who's kind of like the most normal guy. He wants peace. He wants order. He's a benevolent leader, whatever. And I think that just speaks to like, it's not a huge one-to-one analogy or whatever, but it's, you know, he's just a normal guy. He wants to be good at what he's, yeah, I guess it does maybe kind of work. He wants to be good at what he wants to do. He wants to be on the basketball team, and he's driven to that. Maybe he makes some bad choices, but the character he refers to also has some character flaws. So yeah, maybe it does kind of equate.
And let's continue on. So Spinner has what I think is the first of his many flubs of language in figures of speech, where he's telling Jimmy's like, yeah, if I stop concentrating on school, I focus on sports, my marks fall behind. If I do the opposite, and Spinner's like, yeah, it's a catch 42. It's a catch 22, kids. And it was so fun, but also painful.
Coming back years later to set the record straight on that.
I actually knew the whole time it was acting.
Sure you did.
Sort of. But it, over the years that became something that, I think was quite endearing about Spinner, that he knew the things that he should have been wise to. But he just, it was the articulation that really set him back a little bit. But we find out, through Jimmy's words that he's saying he can't manage school and sports. It's obvious that he's choosing sports. He really, making the cut on the basketball team is paramount. And now he's very worried that Miss Kwan will talk to Coach Armstrong and make sure that his dreams of being on the team will not come to fruition. Shortly after, he sees Spinner taking Ritalin, which is the first time, first of all, Spinner has a timer, some sort of beeper on him to remind him of this. And seven episodes into the season, it's the first time we hear any of this, first time it's mentioned. I will tell you, as I've told other people, in the character breakdown to audition for the role of Spinner, most of it was centered around the fact that he had to take Ritalin to be able to concentrate in school and to be normal. And that was the reason that he had the nickname of Spinner. If he missed a pill, he would spin out of control. This is the only episode it's talked about. It will never be talked about again.
I finally get the understanding. And listen, I'm sorry. You learn something new every day. I had no idea. You told me a few weeks ago. I'm sorry. I should have asked playing your character's best friend on TV for a time. I should have known this.
Well, Jay was...
I failed.
Jay was... We know. For the most part, Jay was just there for himself. Spinner, you know, he had a revolving door of friends, okay? And they were right. Situational at best. So I don't really care why you always wore the hat and what you were covering under your head either. I failed to ask.
This giant bald spot.
Ironically, it's me now with the bald spot, but okay, all right, Mike, let's go on with the episode. So hey Spinner, yeah, you gotta keep taking those pills, yeah, but they make me feel like a zombie. Yeah, if you don't take the pills, you it's not pretty. Well, they don't call me Spinner for nothing. After this episode, they absolutely did continue calling him Spinner for nothing, but at least we know now that this is actually why Spinner is called Spinner. Now, we're back to the B plot. Liberty She approaches Ashley about reading the announcements. And Ashley, in her way, just serves it up to Liberty. You are a writer. You are not a performer.
So mean.
Get with it, kid. Know your role. Liberty is displeased. What's with all this drama? I didn't know Degrassi was so chock full of drama. No, that's it. Okay, just shake your head, Mike.
No,
that's
good. It's good. Never heard that before.
All right. And then we go back to the A-plot where it's basketball practice and a great hip-hop beat that they have playing throughout that whole segment.
Well, we'll get to some great hip-hop beats. Trust me.
All right. So Jimmy tries to catch up with reading during the practice. I love how Coach Armstrong, who's still a teacher, like, do you want to get in here, Jimmy? Or are you just going to keep reading, you idiot? You stupid kid.
I guess if you want to, like, read books or whatever.
Yeah. If you think that's going to get you anywhere.
So inappropriate.
But alas, he was correct because Jimmy came in and instead of shooting, from the free throw line or a three-pointer, he did a layup, which was executed beautifully, but it was not the drill they were working on. And I'm pretty sure after that, Armstrong whispered to him and everybody else, nerd, once again, which I just thought was in bad taste. We flip back to the B-plot. Liberty threatens to stop writing announcements. In fact, it's more than a threat. She said she's done. And Ashley, after understanding what this is, what this power struggle is all about, she goes, okay, fine. You can do that. And let's see how well you do. And Liberty gets her way. And she thinks that she is on easy street now. She will have everything that she was hoping for. The credit for writing it and the credit for performing it, because how hard can it be to perform? Right, Mike?
It's hard. It's very hard to do what we do. No, I'm just kidding. It's in hindsight, Liberty is giving, or Ashley is giving Liberty all of the rope that she needs to hang herself, because she, I guess, knows that Liberty is going to suck at it. But I would never have pegged Liberty for somebody who would suck at doing the announcements. Like, she's so A-type and she's so on it and she works in journalism. That was confusing to me. I was a little confused about that plot point.
I think the reason that we could have assumed that Liberty would not be as good as she hoped she would be is for that very reason, that everyone thinks that the grass is greener on the other side, and if I can do this, then I should also be able to do the other thing. And there is an art to both, and very few people can actually pull off both with energy and precision and grace, if you will.
Yeah.
So I actually was filled with doubt. I did not think that Liberty would be able to pull through, at least not to the degree that she hoped. Or maybe that's just because I remember what happened roughly in this episode. But I mean, here we are. Here we are. So now we're back to the A plot quickly. Jimmy is threatened by Sean's performance as a basketball player. He thinks that Sean is a direct obstacle to him landing his place on the team. Spinner tries in his way to encourage Jimmy that he really has nothing to worry about because he is a basketball whiz and he's going to pull this off. But Jimmy, this seems to fall on deaf ears. And then we focus on the Ritalin again.
Mm-hmm. Performance enhancing drugs.
Yes. And now we see that Jimmy is really considering. He doesn't ask yet, but the wheels are starting to turn that maybe there is something that could be done where they could, Spinner and Jimmy could come to an agreement where a pill is handed off and everybody wins. But Spinner says, say no to drugs, kid. Remember.
Dude, Dude, I love this part. At first, I thought, okay, this whole scene is playing like a vintage 80s, you know, drug public service announcement in all of its cheesiness. And I thought, oh, yeah, okay, sure, whatever. And then the writers just hung a lantern on it where your character, where Spinner just basically reenacts it and kind of says, yeah, we're all thinking it. Even this character's thinking it. And here it is. I was really smart.
Even the character that can't think was thinking
yeah.
it.
Well, he can think now because he's just hopped up on those timed Ritalins.
Also, I just want to draw attention to the way that scene started with Spinner just fumbling around with props in the background. It's very obvious, and I actually remember the direction to, yeah, you know, just, you're the team manager, so just go in and check the pump level, the pressure level on all the basketballs on the rack behind there. And could I care less about my job there?
Just hey, you're a team manager, so just to stuff all these you know, towels into your pockets and always have a towel hanging around your neck, yeah. And you're whipping it around like you have insane amounts of towels just hanging off you, towel drip for days.
I am oozing towel, and
like, how sweaty is this team?
Oh, very sweaty. And it's also at the age where, like, not everyone has discovered deodorant yet because sweat glands weren't fully developed. Ooh. So you best believe. And they might have, like, when we were in Houston, Mike, remember in the gym where they had those cold towels with that were soaked in eucalyptus?
Oh, those were nice.
Yeah, that's what I think these might have been about as well.
You were putting eucalyptus on these towels?
I think so, just to counteract the stink. The stank, if you will.
Team manager of the year, Spinner. Wow.
You're damn right. If I couldn't play the sport, I was going to enhance it for everybody under me.
I was wondering about that because Spinner, like, really takes this pride in his job. And I thought, like, that's it's kind of a thankless job. It's kind of like a fake job, maybe.
He's like the water boy here.
He's the water boy. Yeah, exactly.
He's the water boy. Let me tell you another thing about the towels. Okay, so and also, by the way, every single one of those balls, while they might have looked fully inflated, they were all flat, and I did nothing about it. So at the end of the scene, Jimmy does have the idea that maybe this Ritalin could be the answer to all of his problems. Now we are now a day later, Jimmy comes into class, hands his completed assignment to Miss Kwan, but quickly articulates to Spinner that he is a wreck and he's very nervous of how he's going to perform in this basketball game, and flat out asks Spinner for help
he's going to DiCaprio this problem.
He's going to DiCaprio this and ask for Spinner's last Ritalin, which I also think is kind of funny because it's the next day and Spinner is taking three of these pills a day as the beeper would show. But for some reason, it's his last pill and the first pill of the morning. Whatever. You know, not everything has to make perfect sense.
Who's tracking? You are.
I think we were supposed to. Yeah. But Spinner does give Jimmy his pill, as any good friend would, even after saying he needs it. And does that make him a good friend? Do friends let friends do drugs if the drugs are supposed to be used for a good purpose?
I don't know. I think the Beatles would say yes.
As long as it's LSD?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
I get high with a little help from my friends.
Never share your prescriptions.
Never. Yes, that's actually true because I've heard some horrible stories.
That's really dangerous.
That. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the illicit drugs, you could share those all day.
PSA, we're just kidding. This is a joke.
Yep. Sure. Right. Yeah. Right, Mike? Yeah.
Just kidding on the just kidding. We're dead serious. Drugs are
I'm
bad,
crossing my fingers the whole time over here. Okay. So Jimmy takes the pill after a quick little run-in with Radich and pops that pill back with a little look that said, what the hell?
Yeah.
Good for you, Jimmy.
I had to look up with whether Ritalin made you better at sports, and turns out it does.
Oh, good. Good. All right. So he was on to something. Good. Okay. Uh-huh. So Yeah, that age-old saying, drugs are bad, apparently not in this case, is what you're trying to get across, Mike?
No, not saying that. But it does help you out.
Everyone's being so careful.
Helps with focus.
Drugs are bad. Drugs are bad. Okay. B plot. Liberty is reading the announcements. And the reason that we, the way that we find this out is the audience in the classroom is just staring, slack-jawed, dumbfounded by what a train wreck this is. Liberty, at the beginning, it doesn't even seem like she knows the camera is rolling yet, but she's fumbling around with her cue cards. She is making an ass out of herself, not you or me.
This is my favorite blocking in the whole episode. She's just totally unaware, and everyone's just staring at her like, wow. She has no idea.
Yeah.
It was like this. I think this scene, Liberty, yeah, live on air with a whole student body watches her massaging her face, is my new spirit animal.
And I really kudos to Paige for her fantastic line after Liberty signs off. I'm Liberty Van Zandt. More like loser Van Zandt. Well done. Well done, Lauren.
That clip of her doing, like, mushing her face up and stuff is used in the intro for season 6 and I think season 7, according to the wiki.
Really?
They use that as, like, yeah, like,
always one of the, where we had, like, two or three clips of ours behind.
Mm-hmm.
I see. Oh, I look forward to getting there then, so we could talk about that that facial massage more. That facial massage that we all know so well, Mike, from our appearances when we've been smiling for 6 hours, and you just gotta work that stiffness out right around.
Yeah.
Smiling a lot is hard work, kids. I wouldn't recommend it.
It hurts.
So now immediately we see Ashley feels bad, and I mean, what did you expect? Like, what was she hoping for, really? She wanted her to fail.
She set her up. This is like, is this some sort of like weird, tough love type situation? Like, I told you, you weren't good enough. You should have listened to me. Now you know. It's like a lesson that she's really into proving this point.
Yeah. So then why? I mean, like, I understand that, like, sometimes the result that you're looking for, as nefarious as your intentions were, sometimes when you actually see it play out, you have a change of heart. You feel bad for what you set up. But I mean, I don't know. This just seemed to be like a direct cause and effect that should have been completely predictable for Ashley, and yet right away there's not even a laugh. Once again, she can't even smile when she wins.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's gotta have a talk with her. Back to the A plot. Jimmy is high.
Jimmy's on double speed right now.
Yes, he is. And it is in the locker room before going out for the actual game. Jimmy is hyped up, and Spinner is quite
that's
energetic too. These kids are going places. They have the energy to move mountains.
I mean, the way he's dribbling this ball and like tossing it between hands, it's just so intense, and it's so funny.
Neo, eat your heart out. Like,
yeah,
Jimmy,
it's totally Neo from the Matrix. Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't know. Is it like that? Is it that intense? I'm not sure.
I think so. I am pretty sure.
For somebody who doesn't have ADHD, right?
Yeah.
It's basically like, it is speed, but I mean, he's like, and apparently Ritalin also makes you an insane ball hog.
Yeah. 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 As we're about to find out. But I really do think at one point Morpheus said, Neo asked, and so what were you saying? I'll be able to dribble faster? No, Jimmy. I'm saying you won't have to.
That's right. Like, Jimmy loaded the basketball class in the Matrix. You know, instead of guns, it was hoops.
You think that's a basketball you're dribbling? Anyway, for all you Matrix fans out there, I wish I could go back and see that all over again for the first time, fresh eyes. Which didn't come out too long before this episode of Degrassi. So Liberty is out of the recording booth, and there is an audience of mean onlookers just pointing and laughing, and Liberty is brought to tears, and she runs away.
Yeah, people went out of their way to show up at the media room where she was
there
recording
she
that
is.
To point and laugh.
That's her!
God, yeah. Degrassi is so cruel in this episode.
It goes there. It goes there. So back to the A plot. Jimmy is now on the floor and he's playing for himself. It is very apparent. He's not passing. He's not listening to any of the calls from other players. And he certainly doesn't hear spinners, ranting and raving from the sidelines, or maybe he does. And it's encouraging to get even crazier on the floor, but, there's shenanigans afoot.
This is your big moment, Shane.
I know. We are to assume, but we go back to B plot first, and we are to assume that the game is still going on, and Jimmy is just, just destroying.
He's Teen Wolf.
Everything out there. Yes, exactly. Ashley consoles Liberty in the bathroom, because it's always a bathroom. I'm surprised Paige didn't pop out of a stall this time with some wisdom. But totally. Ashley tells Liberty, it's okay. You didn't do as bad as you think. I have a plan that could help you get better. And now Liberty seems to be wiping up those tears and full of hope and promise once more. What is this plan? We're yet to see. But back on the basketball court, Spinner is now entertaining the crowd.
Oh my God, Shane, what was it like to shoot this scene?
This Come was on, buddy. Hell for me. It honestly was hell for me. Anyone who knows me personally knows that I do not like to dance. Not because I don't have rhythm, because I can't get it together on the dance floor. It doesn't matter what it is. I can mess up in a slow song.
Well, it looked like you got it together, buddy.
No, I had to. But this when I read that Spinner had to do a dance and was in front of what were like 40 extras, 50 extras, plus the crew, and all attention was on me, Shane, while I had to pull this thing off, I died 1,000 deaths in preparation for this scene. And then actually having to do it, I just had to man up and pull myself up by my bootstraps and perform. But it was one of the most embarrassing things I've ever had to do, because dancing in front of even a couple people was something I tried to avoid like the plague. And there was no avoiding this one.
I'm sorry, buddy. I mean, but I do think that I've actually demoted Liberty as my spirit animal. I think you hitting play on the boombox, playing this gangster rap, is it gangster rap song? is actually my new spirit animal right now. It's just wonderfully awkward. I'm sorry.
Was it not the same song that was playing during the practice as well?
Yeah, I think it's all like a variation of the same thing. But dude, I'm sorry. I can totally relate to having to dance on camera, because I had to dance on the show at like in party scenes and things like that. And it's my least favorite thing about my performance on the show is watching me dance. I have two left feet. I can't dance. I suck at it. I hate it. But I have to be like this cool guy who's like, you know, Jay. It got to be Jay Hogarth. But I just can't dance like Jay Hogarth, I think, would dance, because it would be cool. But it just looks so dorky to me when I dance on camera.
I actually don't remember you dancing.
I was always terrified.
As was I. And this was, so season one, I'm still, remember, imposter syndrome, 15 years old, uncomfortable in my own skin. Now I have to do the thing that I hate doing the most in front of a whole bunch of strangers and a whole bunch of friends on camera. And it's going to be on TV. And it's the second time I've had to dance in the first 7 episodes of this show. It's the second time I've had to dance. So the first time was with Terry. It was a slow dance. She was the one that got to embarrass herself, fine. But guys, come on, go easy on me.
Like, you've done more dancing on this show already, season one, than you have in real life.
I think so. There's a good reason for that. I never danced since. Okay, so it caps off with Spinner mooning the school. Obviously, he is spinning out of control, as his name would suggest, because Jimmy had his last pill, and now Spinner does not have the support of the Ritalin that he really does need to calm down his ADHD.
I just want to say that cutaway to Mr. Radich while you're doing your thing in front of the whole school is wild. Is he like considering his life choices? You see this, like, he just recedes deeply into himself as you're doing your dance. It's like, oh man, like I'm seeing his whole life flash before his eyes.
I could have been something.
Like, his shot as an athlete, the, you know, like the broken ankle that like sidelined his career, like, you know, the whole path to becoming the principal. He
goes home there. Honey, today I just realized, without a shred of doubt in my mind, I made some bad choices. I made some bad choices.
I was not meant for this job.
No, no. You should leave me. Take the kids and leave. Just cracks open a bottle of bourbon and sits on the couch. Never going back. So he takes Spinner out, and then quickly there is a scene with Spinner in the principal's office where I thought it was so intuitive that Radich is like, Spinner, you've been taking Ritalin 3 times a day for the last 2 years, which he's just a lot of involvement in Spinner's day to day for a principal.
Oh, and it gets worse.
Oh, yeah. And but then right after that, he's like, yeah, you know how to take care of yourself unless there's another reason why you didn't take the pill. And how could he have known that? How could he have alluded to that with no knowledge in the
area?
A
little deus ex machina in there for sure. A little bit of a jump.
But he was onto something. But then Spinner will not throw Jimmy under the bus. Or throw himself under the bus, I guess, and says he just forgot to take it. And now Spinner will be monitored every day for the rest of the year, which I also don't think we see once in future episodes. There's not. Sorry, guys. I gotta go by.
I have to go to the secretary's and pop a pill in front of the secretary.
And pop a pill in front. You remember Basketball Diaries, right? Yeah. Still plays a role in my life.
Does this happen in real life? Is the principal this involved in students' lives? It seems like a total overstep for a principal.
Here's something I would also like to know. He said that Spinner has been taking these pills 3 times a day, every day for the last 2 years, yet Spinner is in grade 8, and we're thinking that this is the still like closer to the beginning of the school year, and Degrassi starts at grade 7, so was Radich watching Spinner in grade 6 for some reason in a different school?
Math.
These are things that we need to think about.
Math. Ain't mathing. I'll make a video about it.
Yeah, please do. Or we could get the Degrassi Mafia on this to really get to the bottom of it on the Reddit boards and Discord.
Put it to the Mafia.
And then come to us with your, you know.
Who's to blame?
What? Yep. So back to the game. Jimmy will not pass the ball again. He's missing shots. He won't listen to any of the direction from Coach Armstrong. And finally, when Sean rebounds a ball and Sean will not pass back to Jimmy, Jimmy runs in, shoulder checks him. Sean gets hurt. That's probably your Lord of the Fly moment right there. And scores the winning shot, wins the game. But did he win the hearts? No.
He didn't.
No, he did not. He did not win mine.
No.
No.
He won incorrectly. Poor sportsmanship.
You can lose well, and you win not well. And
that was beautiful, Shane.
Thanks. Thanks.
You should write Hallmark.
For Hallmark?
Cards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking of Carlton. I don't know if Hallmark would have me. So Degrassi wins the game. And directly following this, as the crowd exits the gym, we see Liberty making a very impromptu announcement about the win, which how could she have known so quickly that they won?
I don't know. There's some loose threads here.
Okay, fair enough. But Liberty is killing it, and a bunch of onlookers go like, ah, she's really picking it up quickly. She's doing well. Which all finishes out with Ashley, us, you know, going to reversing sides and seeing our camera lady side by side with Ashley, who is coaching Liberty through how to do the announcements properly and confidently, and then finishes out with saying, and you could do it all the time, every day, next year. After I graduate, which also doesn't make sense because Ashley doesn't graduate the next year. But, you know, I digress.
That was a really weird line.
It was a weird line. Also, here's what I'm missing from this episode. I am missing a full Rocky style Liberty training to be a news anchor montage.
Oh, you're okay.
How did she get so good so quickly? It's like the next day.
It doesn't matter how much hand waving Ashley is going to do. It wasn't even the next day, was it? I think it was that day.
Oh my God. It was that day.
It had to have been. It had to have been. I don't think there was a day in between. And Ashley is like just there, giving her like hand directions, which are not distracting in any way. If anything, they're helping Liberty get into the zone. I don't know. But Ashley doesn't even know that she is actually in school for at least two more years. So
she doesn't know that. She knows a lot of things, but she doesn't know how long she's got at school left. She's so mean in this episode, like for no reason except territorial.
She's mean in every episode.
I know.
She smiled when she said that to Liberty, but that was not a real smile.
I really like her character. Like, I want to like her character. She's very charming. She's very charismatic. But, like, she doesn't do things well. She hurts people, and she's kind of crappy to people. So, I'm torn.
I think we want to like Ashley because we both like Melissa so much, and we both respect Melissa.
Yeah.
But we don't have to like Ashley.
And nobody likes Jay for, like, the first few seasons of him on the show.
Now I'm feeling the way about Ashley, the way people are feeling about my character, because I'm so conflicted. Yeah. Like, there's a certain amount of charm there and likability. But then when you look on paper, it's like, this person kind of totally sucks.
Yeah. You know what might be redeeming for her, which I found happened a lot with Spinner throughout the seasons? Like, anytime he would mess up, he would cry. Ashley needs to cry more.
She needs to cry.
Those baby blues need to well up and just start leaking. And how can you be like, you immediately, Liberty in this episode wanted to do the announcement. She messed up really badly. She did get her way. She found out that it wasn't as easy as she hoped. And for a minute, you're like, haha, you know, now you got your cake and now you have to eat it too. And then she starts crying. You immediately feel bad for her. Ashley needs to cry more.
Agreed.
And I think that's the problem. Yeah. She needs to smile and she needs to cry.
I hope we get our wish, Shane.
I think we will at some point. Okay. And after we find out that Ashley somehow still wins, even though she does not actually know what her future timeline is on the road to graduation from high school, we move to the final scene, which is Jimmy post-game, very excited that he, and I guess coming down from his high, that he won the game for everybody. He definitely has to make the team because he was the star player. And then he has, he gets a talking to from Armstrong, which essentially was, yeah, you won the game, but you played for yourself, kid. And there was no I in team. You showboated.
That's right.
You showboated. You did not listen to anybody, and you ran over your own teammate. Sorry, Jimmy. You're cut.
You literally went out of your way to pretty much break Sean's ankle.
Yeah. Yep.
You're cut. Crime doesn't pay. Yeah.
Crime does not pay unless it does. And when it does, it pays very well.
We are bad influences, I think, maybe, Shane, on this podcast.
Drugs are good and crime pays, kids. So Jimmy learned a hard lesson. First of all, the drugs are bad. And that being the star player is not as simple as just you know, scoring the most points and getting the game-winning shot. No.
That's right.
It's about being a team player, which Jimmy was not.
Ain't that the truth? We learned a valuable lesson in this episode.
With the Lord of the Flies metaphor, Mike, do you wanna try to bring that home?
I don't know. I never read Lord of the Flies. I was making a video instead with my friends.
I made the movie for Lord of the Flies, and I didn't read the book for that either.
Yeah. I made a movie about something else loosely related.
Well, I think that if there was going to be a real nod to Lord of the Flies, there would have been some sort of, like, when the basketball game was done, all the kids would have been in a frenzy. There would have been a riot. There would have been fires, and someone would have died.
Did you read Lord of the Flies in school?
I did. It was so long ago, though. I don't remember any detail to that. Yeah.
Well, la-dee-da, Mr. Smarty Pants.
Sorry, buddy. Sorry. So that is basketball. That is Basketball Diaries, kids.
What'd you think of the episode in general? Did you like it?
I did like it. Aside from the scenes that I was in, everything was great about the episode.
Shane, don't be so hard on yourself, man.
I will until I, you know, a couple seasons in, when I had a better idea of how to act and act properly and feel like I was carrying my weight in the...
No, man, I love everything you're doing with Spinner is like totally perfect for Spinner. You are Spinner.
Fine.
And it's great. Fine. You're killing it. Gotta boost Shane's confidence up.
Oh, my confidence in general doesn't need boosting, but in this regard, no, that's it.
Now, when I was first watching the series, I would always say to my wife, like, I can't believe Spinner would do this. Don't do it. No, don't do it, Spinner. Like, I was always rooting for Spinner because I could kind of relate to you. Like, when I was younger, I was like, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And you would always make the worst decisions in the show. But, like, you did it so well. You made the worst decisions in the best way. And we all had empathy and compassion for you. And we wanted you to do well. Like, you were the one that, like, while you were still kind of a bad boy, you were still kind of a bully. Everybody still was rooting for you.
Yeah.
It's because I cried so much.
Yeah, you did. You cried really well.
Spinner is making progress. You know, I didn't see a single spitball in this episode.
It's yeah. I mean, bit by bit, right? He's figuring out who he is, and
yeah.
he realized that, the spitball thing was so grade six, which is what Radich told him from the bushes when he was watching him take his pills.
So weird.
So strange.
Radich is a creep, man.
Yeah, he's totally really a creep, right, in this?
Yeah.
Very bizarre. He's way too involved in the student's life.
Radich, let's not meet, dude.
Mr. Radich, let's not meet. I love the crossover.
Now that we're deep into recording season one, but we've started airing episodes, just such a big thank you to all of you who have been listening. The response is even better than we were hoping for. We're having so much fun doing this. And I mean, the reviews and the subscriptions and the downloads, it just means so much to us. And we really do love so much that you're picking up what we're putting down over here. So thank you all very much for tuning
in. Yes. Thank you guys. We see you.
Yeah, so we're going to do our mailbag segment. If you have any questions for the show, email us at dgradspodcast@gmail.com or sign up for our Discord. All right, so let's get to our first question here. It's from Snackery7717. They ask, if there's anything that you could change about your character's overall arc in the show, what would it be? And I know you guys probably have plenty of those things.
Thanks, Snackery. that's a really good question. I've actually never heard that question before. So very, 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 very interesting. I don't know. Like, maybe I would maybe want to see if you could deepen how bad Jay was and still turn him around in the end. Like, you know, like maybe did something really unforgivable. Like, I don't know, started a fire or like, you know.
Give somebody VD.
Yeah, no, that is a good point.
He almost did that. I mean, he did do that. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Wait, didn't we start a fire too in the school? No.
I think so.
Yeah, we did. Damn it.
I think Spinner started a fire, and you are actually the voice of reason.
Spinner almost starts a fire, and I'm like, dude, yes. What are you crazy? Like, if there's no school, then we can't have a place to come and be total bullies at anymore. That was the logic, I think, of Jay. Yeah. God, I don't know. This is a tough question. Just more bad stuff.
Yeah, more bad stuff. All right. Well, I really wish that Spinner and Jay, years down the road, would have had their fly fishing scene actually make the cut.
Yes.
Right.
Do you remember what we talked about during that scene?
No. Do you?
Well, it was obviously about like Emma and Spinner and the whole marriage thing.
Wasn't it all? I think it was also about Spinner's dad, because the whole reason we were out there was because Spinner had very fond memories of he and his dad fly fishing.
Of course it was about your dad. We're fly fishing.
Yeah. Yeah. But aside from that, no. I do remember having a lot of fun standing in the middle of that river, which was probably unsafe because we got no coaching. Yeah.
Here, put these hip waders on. Get out there, kid.
It's not like there were safety nets. Exactly. And there was a current.
Does that scene exist anywhere? Is it a deleted scene? I want to see that. I want to relive that.
What if they deleted it because they're like, we can't take the chance that someone's going to come after us to inquire about what safety measures we took in case these kids got swept away by the current?
Yeah, maybe it was just something stupid like we didn't have our fishing permit.
Yeah, did not have our outdoor licenses. Yeah. If you will.
Or maybe we just sucked in that scene, Shane. And then we're like, yeah, let's get rid of it.
Yeah, like, no. So I wish that scene made it in. I wish that Spinner wouldn't have chosen to stay at the dot and he would have gotten to play drums on top of that school bus when Jay stole his role in the band and played in L.A., which I'm still bitter about, if you can't tell. Do you know how that felt? That we were finally going on location to L.A. and I hear the band is going. I'm so excited. And then to read that it's you?
I know. I did find it weird that Jay just like automatically knew how to play the song in your character's band.
Yeah. And then I also wish that Spinner actually did start that fire that day. No. I don't know. Like Spinner's
Jesus.
Spinner's story arc, character arc throughout the seasons was so well crafted, and there were so many ups and so many downs and so many short-term and long-term moments of redemption. And I like, it's very hard looking back after how everything ended eventually how it ended. I won't spoil it for people who haven't seen it yet. I don't really think there's anything I would change. I love the way that it all played out. I really do. Like I wouldn't change the what happened with Jimmy and everything down the road. I wouldn't have changed the road back afterwards. If you take one piece out of that puzzle, then who knows where he would have ended up. And I love how my story wrapped up. So no. Sorry, guys.
Beautiful.
I wouldn't change a thing.
That was beautiful, Shane.
That was beautiful. Love that. Question number two, Haley Sophia. This was an email. Hey, Mike, Shane, and Andy. I am so stoked about the podcast. The first episode was amazing. Degrassi, The Next Generation is so special. And as someone who grew up in Burlington, Ontario, and was around the same age as Emma and Manny when the show started, rewatching it can sometimes feel like reconnecting with my childhood and the friends that I was growing up with. It was a huge source of comfort when my mom passed away a few years ago, bringing me back to simpler times and a familiar place. My question for you, were there any episodes based on true life experiences of any of the cast members? And for context, they put Seventh Heaven has an episode where Lucy lost a friend in a car crash, and they wrote that episode to help Beverly Mitchell, the actor portraying Lucy, cope with losing her friend in an accident. All of you were really great in selling your emotions on screen, so I often wondered if this may have been the case with Degrassi. It's a bit of a hard question, but I wanted to share it because it was really interesting.
No, that's a really, that's a, thank you for sending that in. And I'm so sorry for your loss. And I am, and I'm just really heartened to know that like we had a very similar experience growing up. You grew up just down the road a piece from where we did. And so, yeah, like looking at Degrassi, I can imagine would remind you of high school and all of that stuff. I don't personally know, to answer your question, I don't personally know whether any of the characters' real life struggles or some of the things that they were going through became plot lines of the show. I don't know, Shane, maybe you can speak to that?
No, I don't. At least in my experience and everything that I know, there wasn't anything that happened in real life to any of the actors that then found its way onto screen. I know in my own life, scarily enough, there were some things that happened on screen that then that was a real life imitating art situation. So there was a reversal of that question playing out for me. But I won't get into that now. I'll get into that as those episodes come up later on. The only thing that I know, there's a line I think in season three where Spinner is. I won't ruin the scene, but if people out there know the phrase or the word that I'm about to use, I was speaking to another character and giving him shit about something. And like, oh, you think you could just do this and do that and no schlaboggle? And schlaboggle was actually, it was, I was walking, I was in the production offices one day and I was talking to some of the team members over there and there was a whiteboard and, you know, I was this young kid, full of energy and just loved that, you know, I had the ear of these adults, even if they were being paid to listen. And I was ranting about something and I say schlaboggle and someone says, schlaboggle, what's that? And I'm like, schlaboggle, it means no big deal. And then I walk over to the whiteboard and I write schlaboggle, no big deal. And then a couple weeks later, it's a line that Spinner has. But aside from that, I don't know of any other case.
I think that qualifies, actually.
Yeah, that's the only piece of Shane that ended up in the show.
Well, I think if that's it for the mailbag this week, if that's all Santa has brought us.
Thank you, Santa Andy.
Yeah.
And thanks Santa to the fans who sent in the questions. That is awesome. Keep them coming. We love those.
Even the fact that we're getting questions at all this early on into the podcast is like it. You know, once again, it means so much in ways that you can't imagine.
It's cool, man. We've got an audience now, Shane.
Yeah, I know, and it seems to be growing and responding well to our antics over here. So it really, we're so happy with how this is going. We're very excited for where this roller coaster ride takes us. We know that this podcast is going to evolve and change for the better, not the worse. Absolutely not the worse. Thank you so much for being along for the ride right from the beginning. So, I guess that brings us to the end of episode 107, Basketball Diaries. This has been the D-Grads podcast. And yeah.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We seriously appreciate you guys coming along for the ride. Again, if you've got any questions, thoughts, or if you just want to share your Degrassi memories, please hit us up at dgradspodcast@gmail.com.
And to get early ad-free episodes, head over to patreon.com/dgrads to sign up and support the show today.
And as always, whatever platform you're listening to the podcast on, please subscribe, please rate it, and please leave reviews. It really helps it getting passed around and getting that viewership up there. And we want as many Degrassi fans to have a chance to listen to this as possible. So thank you once again for tuning in. This has been the D-Grads podcast with Shane Kipple and Michael Bell, and we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.